A quorum is present. The clerk will note the roll call. The minutes of the March 16th meeting are in your packet. Representative Otumba, would you like to move those? I saw you studying them. The minutes are moved. Any questions? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And carried. Members, thank you for coming to get a quorum on these two important bills. And the first bill up in the agenda is House File 1797, Representative Leader. This has gone through quite a few committees. The chair will move that House File 1797 be recommended to pass and be referred to the General Registry. Representative Leader, do you want to give us the explanation of your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 1797, a lot of them call it a stimulus bill. It's a recovery bill. The bill is really here because it separates the other, what they call stimulus money. This is identified strictly for the transportation portion of the stimulus money, and that's why it's here. It requires the transportation commissioner to make every effort to utilize all the funding, and it also requires that he meets all the federal aid requirements, and it eliminates the one big thing, and it eliminates the local match for aeronautics. And normally in Minnesota statutes it's 80-20. This eliminates the 20% match, and also mandates that the commissioner should have a report, final report for these monies as he does in the other monies. And basically that's the bill, except there's a provision there that provides for 17% maximum for program delivery. And while that sounds high, that's the maximum. Normally program delivery runs from 10 to 12%, but it depends on the type of contractor, whatever is going on. A bridge design could be higher. Other projects where they got a lot of detail in the metro area would have a higher program delivery cost than normally an overlay or anything else. And that's basically the bill, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Representative Holberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Chair Leader. We had a little discussion about this in transportation, and that paragraph B is really broad.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we're running into is we're building things that we don't have enough money to operate them. And so I'm hoping, my understanding is the Senate has different language and you're going to go to the floor, but I think we need to be careful that we're not telling MnDOT to go for every single thing they can get their hands on and then not be able to have the money to pay for maintenance or operating, and in particular in the transit area is one area that we're already in a lot of trouble with. And so hopefully there'll be some language as this bill moves forward that'll address those issues.
Mr. Chair and Representative Holberg, I appreciate that, and actually the Senate has some language, but it needs a little bit of a more tightening up, and we expect that we're going to do that if we get out of the conference committee. The reason I didn't bring it in this evening is the fact this bill has to be on the governor's desk by the 30th, I believe, and we'd have to go through some more committees. So we think we can address that problem. I'm sure we will in the conference committee.
Any other discussion? Representative Kahn?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure if other people, I met with two people who came. One of them was from Microsoft, and then one was a lobbyist who works with Microsoft, who came to talk about a program that's tracking all of the federal stimulus funds. Have they spoken with other people in this area?
Madam Chair and Representative Kahn, I believe with Microsoft, it was also IBM. They're concerned not about this bill, but they have a program that will track. They want to do more, whatever you want to call it, tracking, or they get some program software, and they wanted to have a hearing. But basically, it's not included in any of this bill.
What? Well, Mr. Chairman, I thought it was tracking all of the spending from the stimulus package, and I thought it was a set of software, and I thought they were donating it to the state. And has anyone else had any conversations about this? I mean, I think it's a good idea,
mm-hmm.
but I don't quite know where it's happening.
Representative Kahn, I think there are some recommendations coming from the governor's office on that very issue, and we haven't sorted them out yet completely. But I think that they're concerned about that as well. So we'll try to keep everyone informed of that as it comes through.
Okay.
Okay.
I just, you know, I noticed this. I'm not sure that this has sort of had some tracking. I'm not sure if the tracking money in this is, the tracking language in this is as good as we'd like it to be. So I'm
Representative Klein, I've also asked earlier this evening for the department to give us reports on their monthly allocations and their projects that they have rated less as we go through this particular year. So I think the legislature will be informed kind of as we were when we were dealing with the I-35W bridge.
Okay.
There was a great deal of information that was very insightful to the legislature to be able to track some of these things. And they said they would be providing that. Any other discussion at all? If not, then the chair will renew the motion that House File 1797 be recommended to pass and placed in the general registry. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And carried. Representative Leader, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee.
Then we have the next one up on the agenda is House File 1227. Representative Ruth Avina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Representative Rukavina, the chair will move the House File 1227. We recommend the pass and placed on the general registry.
Chair, how fast do you want me to go on this?
Well, depends upon how hungry you are.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, we don't have a bill summary in our packet, and so you're kind of at a disadvantage for going fast because we have stuff amended here that we don't even know what it applies to. So with no bill summary, you're going to have to help us out.
Right, we just sent somebody up to get this bill summary. I'm sorry that that wasn't in the packet. And so you're absolutely right. There's also, I think, a fiscal note with this one as well. And I don't think that's in our packet either.
Well,
the representative,
Mr. Chair, bill does is in order to get $130 million of unemployment insurance from the federal trust fund, we have to pass this bill. If any members are concerned about the cost, there's about $1.5 million a year of improved benefits that are required by the federal stimulus package to get this, and I believe it qualifies about 2,000 more Minnesotans for unemployment insurance than currently would qualify. So it's supported by, it isn't opposed by anybody. The chamber and the AFL-CIO have agreed on it, and so that's basically what the bill does. If you want me, Representative Holberg, to quickly go through each section. Section one allows what it does is allows those 2,000 more individuals, Minnesotans, to qualify by doing a little changes to the quarters where they qualify. And Section 2 does changes immediate family member, a little definition. That's required under federal law to get this $130 million. Section 3...
Mr. Chair, can I ask Representative Rukavina about Section 2? For what purpose are we changing the definition of an immediate family member?
What we are doing is, I believe this is a federal requirement, and in order to get this money, we had some choices we could pick from, and this is what Commissioner McElroy and his staff determined was the best way to go that cost the least amount of money. And it's just what it does I think it adds, I don't know what currently is in, in current law, but you can see what the changes do. It adds immediate family member means a spouse, a parent, a step-parent, son, daughter, stepson, stepdaughter, grandson, granddaughter. I don't know what the definition currently is. Mr. Lee Nelson's here from Deed that can tell us what we've added here. The reason we've added it...
Well, Mr. Chair, without a bill summary, I don't sit on the committee, I don't know why we need to change the definition of immediate family for unemployment purposes.
Let's call him up. And we are getting the bill summary down. That's our fault. Sorry. Mr. Nelson, if you can identify yourself for the tape, please, and answer this question. Did you hear the question?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I am Lee Nelson. I am the Director of Legal Affairs for the Unemployment Insurance Program. Mr. Chairman, over to your question, what this does, this bill provides for a modification to a current exception for quitting employment if you are subject to domestic abuse, or an immediate family member is subject to domestic abuse and you have to leave your employment, then you are not subject to denial of benefits. It also provides for a new exception if you quit your employment to take care of an ill family member. You are not subject to a denial of unemployment when you do become available for work. And also provides that if you are discharged because you are staying home to care for an ill family member, you are not denied. The federal stimulus law requires a certain definition of family member, and that's why we are putting the definition in there, because otherwise we have an exception saying you're not denied if you quit to take care of an ill family member, but then we don't define who a family member is. So that's why we need a definition, so we can...
Mr. Nelson, is this consistent with definition of what the federal law requires us to have?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this is just a shade broader, because this matches up with the Senate. The Senate side put in step-parent and put in step-child, step-daughter or step-grandson. So this matches step-daughter or step-son. That was added in the Senate side. Otherwise, it matches up completely with the federal requirement.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Lee, so the language here in front of us then would not be the department's language, but rather the Senate's language. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, it was originally drafted without step-parent and step-son and step-daughter. That was added in the Senate. And when I was asked how many people I thought this might apply to, I probably said two a year. How many. We don't expect this whole provision on immediate family members to apply to more than about 50 cases a year.
Is it fair to say then that the department is comfortable with this language?
Mr. Chairman, yes, more than comfortable.
Very good. Representative Holbrook, you had additional questions?
No, that's fine.
Representative Rucamina, do you want to continue going through your provisions?
Sure. Section 3 just adds apprentices who are in training and can't be stopped from collecting benefits. Section 4 is actually not an actual change in law, but the language meets federal requirements. Section 5 is a procedural purpose, so you can implement Section 1. Section 6 is to lessen the paperwork for Section 1. Section 7...
Well, Representative, I don't particularly like that.
Yeah. Well, I thought we were supposed to try to save money by limiting paperwork. So.
Okay.
Section 7 lessens the restrictions on students collecting benefits. What it did is we had put this in the bill earlier so that knowing these tough times we might be in, people can go and get retrained for a job and still qualify for unemployment insurance. Section 8 and 9 allow unemployment benefits to individuals who lose their job because they have to take care of an ill family member, as Mr. Nelson explained, which was the reason for the addition to those who qualifies as a family member. And Section 10 allows the department to spend money to implement this program, and that's the bill.
Questions at all? Other questions? And Representative Emmer.
No, thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question on page, it's line 5.1 to 5.3, new language.
Okay.
Thank you.
Do I have the updated bill?
It has to do with the suitable employment again. I don't know if Representative Rukavina, if you want to speak to that, what are we doing? What are we saying there?
Mr. Nelson, go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Nelson?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Demmer, as Representative Rukavina indicated, this is complete comfort language. But we want to make it very clear, it doesn't change the definition of suitable work at all. But what we do is we want to make sure we qualify for the federal stimulus money, and you have to actually dot every I and cross every T so the individuals who will approve it know exactly that you qualify. So we want to make it perfectly clear that Minnesota qualifies. I've run this language by the actual person who will be giving the thumbs up or the thumbs down on whether you meet the requirements, and they approved it. But what it really says is if you've been working part-time and you lose that job and you apply for unemployment benefits, a full-time job would not be considered suitable. Now, you could still take it, but you couldn't be denied benefits for refusing to take a full-time job if you've always worked part-time. That's what it basically says.
Okay, Representative Demmer?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is this, did I hear you to say, is this complying with some federal definition? Is that what we're doing? Was it taking word for word some federal definition or something?
Mr. Nelson?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Demmer, what we have to do is provide, put a provision in law, which we already have. The law currently works that way, but the Department of Labor would like it very clear that if an individual has essentially always worked part-time, they wouldn't have to take a full-time job if it were offered to them. They could, but they wouldn't have to. And they couldn't be denied unemployment benefits for refusing a full-time job if they have always worked part-time. And that is one of the requirements to meet the stimulus money, to get the stimulus money.
Okay. Other questions at all? Representative Holbrook?
Thank you. I'm looking at page 10, lines 31 through 33. Is that required by the statute?
Lines 31 through 33.
Page 10.
Mr. Nelson?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Colbert, what happened in this particular bill, the federal requirements are actually on lines, basically on lines 18 and 19. And then on 24 and 25. But what we did with this bill is because we were going into that same section, we were doing this in another bill that has passed a number of committees, the deed housekeeping bill. So instead of putting it, we just moved it from there and then added the new language. So no to your question, 31 through 33 is not. But 31 through 33, if you look at lines 10 and 11, basically does the same thing in a different place. So it doesn't change the effect of what goes on regarding a single incident. But to your question, no, it is not exactly stimulus, but we're already going in and modifying that section in a different bill. We simply moved it all into this particular bill.
Representative Holbrook, if you look at 10 and 31, it seems like it's a rewrite.
Well,
Representative Holbrook?
Mr. Chair, I don't view it as just a rewrite because you're saying that it's an important fact which must be considered. I don't see that the same type of language on 10 and 11. But Representative Rukavina, is this going to cost the state more money in the long term?
Representative Rukavina?
My understanding is that this will cost the state about $1.5 million a year more in benefits in order to get $140 million a year, but out of a trust fund of, or out of expenditures of how much, what is it, $1 billion?
Chairman, Mr. Nelson, the unemployment insurance program will pay approximately $2 billion this year in total unemployment benefits. $1.6 billion in regular benefits is what's being projected to be paid. This will increase overall benefits by about $1.5 million per year. For that, Minnesota will receive one-time money of $130 million. So we thought that was kind of worth it. I mean, worth $1.5 million a year to get one-time money of $130 million. So it's a relatively minor cost to the administration's position to receive $130 million.
Representative Holbrook, additional questions?
No.
Any other questions? Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think my question's for either Representative Rugavina or Mr. Nelson. But I think Representative Holbrook asked if it was going to, or maybe it was Representative Rugavina said this, it was going to cost the state $1.5 million. But actually, Mr. Nelson or Representative Rugavina, isn't the entire cost of unemployment insurance in the state of Minnesota borne by the employers?
Mr. Chair, it will cost the employers of the state who pay the unemployment insurance tax $1.5 million a year. But Minnesota employers pay $140 million a year into the UI Trust Fund, and they hardly ever get any of it back. The last time we got money back was in 2002, so I think it's a pretty good... I think you even invest in this, Representative.
That's better than my stock, that's for sure. Any other discussion? Any other questions? If not, then the chair will renew his motion that House File 1227 be recommended passed and re-referred to the General Registry. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And carried. Members, there's one announcement. I think Friday at 12:30 is our next meeting, and that should be when we set the target officially for the committee. They've unofficially been released, and I don't expect there to be too many changes. So if there is proposed changes, I'll share them with you as soon as I have them.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Holbrook,
in order that...
Just one second. Wait a second. We're not adjourned yet.
Mr. Chair, in order that the minority, if they choose to bring amendments to your committee, when might we know what your proposed numbers will be for Friday's meeting?
Representative Holbrook, I think they will be extremely close to what's already been released. If there's any other changes, as soon as those changes are indicated, I will indicate those to you as well.
Well, Mr. Chair, do you think you'll have them by Thursday? Or, I mean, it may be that your changes may perfectly reflect our priorities, and we wouldn't be able to avoid any amendments. So I'd just like to know when we would get your numbers that you're proposing so we can decide what we need to do, if anything.
We'll get them to you just as soon as they can, but in all honesty, they will be extremely close to what has already been released to the public and to yourself. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? If not, the meeting is adjourned.